recorded.
Well, welcome everybody. This is our third conference call for RP102 evaluation in recreation, and I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting it from the traditional territory of Kwanlin Dun First Nation and Ton Kwachin Council. Just before I jump into the call, last week I know some of my sound quality with certain headphones is not clear, so if you find that I'm hard to hear or the quality isn't good enough, just pop a message in the chat for me so that I can see that. That would be great. So last week we went through the week two content, and that introduced you to the process of planning and carrying out an evaluation. For last week's RLA, you began to design a basic evaluation plan. You described your program or project. You considered how to focus your evaluation, and you wrote a few key evaluation questions. And for those of you who shared it, I gave you feedback on your Part A last night that will help you with your Part B. So Part B, the second half of the evaluation plan, is due on Sunday coming up. I just heard a beep. Did somebody else join the call?
It's me, Tegan.
Hi, Tegan. Welcome. We just started, so you're right on time. So this week on today's call, we're looking at how to collect evaluation data. And I like the quote on slide 36. I'll read it to you. It's, collecting data is like collecting garbage. You have to know what you're going to do with the stuff before you start. So it's just something important to remember there. There's many considerations around collecting data, and these might influence the tools that we choose to collect data. So we're going to sort of get into this sort of bigger picture of data collection today. We'll do a round of introductions. Our circle today will go from Thorsten to Kelsey to Spider to Anne to Tegan. And then I will start with a different first person each time, so we don't always put Thorsten on the spot first and always leave Tegan till the end. So we'll go around our circle. So I've got a question for you to answer as you introduce yourself, and there's no right or wrong answer, so simply share what comes to mind. The question is, after you introduce yourself, please share your own perspective or your own thoughts about what it means to conduct an evaluation respectfully. So we're talking about what does respectful evaluation look like to you? So after you introduce yourself, just share your thoughts on that. So let's start with you, Thorsten.
So it's Thorsten here. I'm finally back in the beautiful hamlet of From Providence, right on in front of the Mackenzie River. And I am the physical literacy coordinator for the DECHO. And respectfully. Conduct evaluations respectfully. I think it's very black and white. Just write exactly down what you have done within the evaluation. Don't think about your interpretation of things, but just stick to the facts. I think maybe that's what I think is respectfully.
So be clear and objective then. And don't.
Correct.
Don't put your own lens on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you think somebody says something but they actually didn't, don't put that thought into their words, because that's their own
words. Exactly. Just state facts, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Thorsten. Over to you, Kelsey, if you wanted to introduce yourself and then share your thoughts on what respectful evaluation looks like or how we conduct evaluation respectfully.
Sure. I'm Kelsey. I live in Whitehorse, and I work for RPA, the Recreation and Parks Association of Yukon. I guess respectful evaluation to me would be mindful of where people are coming from when it comes to evaluation and when you're evaluating something. So, like with my work, sometimes the people that are doing the evaluation of their programs or that we ask to evaluate their programs maybe aren't the best with computers. And so just being mindful of that kind of stuff and being there to help walk them through it.
That's great. So it's that kind of like designing your evaluation with your stakeholders and evaluation participants in mind so that you're not asking questions that they can't understand or asking things that aren't relevant to their background or things that they can't, like you said, with computers address. So that's great. Thanks, Kelsey. Over to you, Spider, if you'd like to introduce yourself and share your thoughts on what respectful evaluation looks like.
Good morning. My name is Spider Jones. I work for Sport North Federation. I'm a multi-sport executive director for NWT Athletics and NWT Amateur Wrestling Association, and do some special project work and some physical literacy development initiatives with Sport North. Further to what was just mentioned about being mindful of where people are coming from, I know that when we started our Common Vision project, where we trained parent leads to lead fun games and activities that were purposeful to develop the love of activity for 2 to 6 year olds, I put forward the thought about, well, maybe we, as a, for our evaluation, that we would survey folks, and then it became apparent that while you know, survey could potentially work, depending on how it was delivered, if it was just given straight up, there may not be the academic strengths of some select participants to have a meaningful response. So it was then determined that, you know, we would likely do a concept of quantitative versus qualitative, that we would do a in-person verbal question survey. So I think that falls along the same way. In that way, we're respecting, where they're coming from. I don't want to say intellectually, but they're more comfortable with the process. We're better likely to get meaningful answers versus then potentially not as engaging as strongly in an evaluation if it was written, and then their feelings on why am I doing this if my strengths don't lie on the written academic side.
Yeah, thanks, Spider. I think that's really important, and that's also pointed out on slide 38. So similar to what Kelsey's saying, the way that we conduct evaluations respectfully is to really consider the characteristics of the people that are involved or the stakeholders involved. So whether that's literacy, age, background, their culture, things like that. So really good point. And people get over-surveyed sometimes. So sometimes it's nice to do that in-person piece. So thanks, Spider. Anne, how about yourself? Would you like to introduce yourself and just share your thoughts on what respectful evaluation might look like?
Yeah, hi. I'm Anne Morgan, and I work with the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon, and I'm working right now from the traditional territory of the Ta'an Kwachin Council. And when you guys were speaking, I was thinking about that poor man that phoned me the other day for a survey about something I had absolutely no interest in. And I asked him, I don't mind doing it, but how long will it take? It's like 20 minutes. Like 20 minutes? I don't have time to do 20 minutes on something I'm not interested in. I often think of those poor people. I hope they don't get paid by the completed survey, because I'm sure they don't get very many results. But I think that's one of the things that I think about in evaluation is trying to be respectful of people's time and their literacy, which I think somebody else mentioned as well. If it's going to be a written type of evaluation, to make sure that we're considerate of that and that we're not asking invasive questions when it comes to even identifying if you identify as male or female or non-binary or those kinds of questions can be really invasive for folks. So I think just maybe being respectful of that and also just making sure people know how you're going to be using the data and that we're not going to connect the results to you as the person, because often I'm thinking more of surveys, I guess, but often there's a spot at the end that if you want to win a prize, give us your name. And it's like, well, that's great, but I just answered this survey anonymously. Well, I want to make sure you're not going to connect it back to my name now if I want to win a prize. So I think of those kinds of things, I guess, just as a participant in evaluation.
That's great. Thanks, Anne. And definitely those surveys that are random, you know, like the people who fill out physical activity surveys are people like us who are motivated to fill them out. But, you know, if you're not motivated on a survey on, you know, sewer or something like that, it's pretty hard to participate in that. And it is important to make sure people understand what you're collecting, how you're going to use it, things like that. And prizes are motivating, as you pointed out, but it's also on the responsibility of the person collecting that information not to connect that identifying information. And but you're right, sometimes people aren't aware of that, so it's how it's presented. So thank you. Let's go over to Tegan. Would you like to introduce yourself, Tegan? And then is there anything that you'd like to add that you're also thinking about when you think of respectful evaluation?
I'm Tegan. When I think of respectful evaluation, it's like, I don't know, this question is hard for me to answer. I would just say, like, clear, concise wording, and so that whoever that's evaluating me or I'm evaluating, we could give the correct answer to have that feedback that, like, instead of saying something really mean on it, I don't know.
Well, I think what I hear you saying that's really important that is it's the communication around the evaluation. You have to be very clear in how you communicate so that both the evaluator and the people participating understand the process, what's being asked, things like that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, if you said something that a person didn't like, I don't know, like if you worded it wrong and that person misinterprets you, I think that would be, like, I don't know, yeah, I think you basically said what I was, like, looking for in words, but also, Caroline, I might have to hang up the call and join back in because we have a safety meeting in 10 minutes that I just found out.
Sure, no worries. You're more than welcome to do that. If you're on a computer and you can go into the chat, you can just let me know when you're signing off, but if you're not, that's okay, too, so. Okay. No worries. If I say your name and I don't hear you, then I'll know that you're off for a little bit. So thanks for letting me know, Tegan.
No,
let's we're going to take a look at a little bit of the content. Then we're going to jump into, talking about specific tools. So thanks for sharing your thoughts about respectful evaluation. Some of the really important concepts are highlighted on slide 37, and I just wanted to touch on these. So one of the things that you have mentioned in your introductions is the idea of informed consent. We didn't exactly use those words, but informed consent, you might recognize that term from risk management, but it's the same thing when you're doing evaluation. So it's really important that anybody who may participate in your evaluation knows the purpose for your evaluation, so that's why we put that in our evaluation plan. And they also know the commitment of time. So, Anne, you mentioned 20 minutes. That can influence whether you want to participate or not. So the purpose and the time commitment are important. You should also let people know, and this will vary by each community, whether or not they can expect an honorarium. So some people expect it, but if you're not planning on giving one, they might not participate, or other people might not expect it. So you need to be very clear around that. And then informed consent also lets people know that they can choose whether or not they want to participate. So they need to understand what it is first and then choose. Again, the same in risk management. You lay out what they might expect as far as risks, and then they can choose, go ahead and participate. If a person is a minor, then you'll need a parental consent. And if you're going to collect any data like photos and they're going to be shared publicly, you probably should put that consent in writing. Another thing that's really critical around respectful evaluation is anonymity, and I have a hard time saying that word. But in our small communities, anonymity is really challenging. You know, if you have three people participate and one person says, yeah, I'm between the ages of 30 and 40, you probably know who that person is. So it means anonymity means that you have to collect and report information so that individual participants cannot be identified. So you might need to change how you design your evaluation if anonymity is a challenge. Or you can also tell participants that it might not be possible, and you would do that as part of your informed consent. So if you say, I can't guarantee you that you won't be identified by what you're sharing, then they can choose to participate or not. Not everybody will decline, like some people might, but some people might still go ahead and participate. The third concept that's really important is confidentiality. And really what that means is that you don't share any sensitive or personal information. So you don't share what their gender identity is associated with their name. And you don't share any sensitive or personal information unless it's required by law. So if you imagine, Kelsey, you were talking about an evaluation with youth. If you have youth participate and somebody discloses abuse or something like that, then by law you are required to pass that information on appropriately. So with confidentiality, you would inform your potential participants what you can and can't do. So hopefully that's fairly clear. I think those are really important parts when we talk about respectful evaluation. If we move on to slide 38, as it shows, data collection is influenced by the purpose of your evaluation, your participant characteristics, like you just mentioned in your introductions, also by the resources available. If you have a lot of money and a lot of time, you can do a very different evaluation than if you were expected to do it in a couple of months and you don't have a lot of money. And also data collection will be influenced by the type of data that is needed for your evaluation. So when you choose tools to collect your data or your information, remember that there are many different types and they collect different types of data. Last week we talked about qualitative versus quantitative and some of you have used those words. So those are different types of data. Each tool has its own advantages and disadvantages. So it's important to understand, you know, why a survey, like you just mentioned, why a survey might be useful, Spider, you mentioned that, versus an in-person interview or focus group. So there's pros and cons to each of those. One thing to keep in mind is that if you choose to use more than one tool, it actually strengthens your evaluation. A good evaluation won't look for information in just one way. So we often think about a feedback form from a program being evaluation. It's not really evaluation. It's getting feedback on the program. A program evaluation would include more than just the feedback form. So keep that in mind, that a true evaluation is a bit broader and uses at least two types of tools. So I'd like you guys, if you can, to open or go into, I can see that there's at least three people in the online data tool selector document. Can we just go around and you tell me if you're in there or not? Thorsten, are you in that online document?
I am.
Awesome. Kelsey, are you in there?
Yep.
Okay. And Spider?
Yes.
Okay, Anne, do you have a computer in front of you?
Yeah, I'm just looking for the document. I'm signed in to Rec North, but I don't have the document in front of me yet.
Okay, if you're in the Rec North in the learning event, go up to the top right-hand corner by your name, and there's a little chat box in the green thing, and if you click on that, the most recent message that I sent you has the link in it. And if you can't find it, I'll send it to you in an email because it's outside of Rec North. It was also in the email that I sent about today's conference call. So do you want me to resend it to you?
Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay, I'm going to resend you this just to your RPAY one, and halfway down there's a link to the shared online document. And that will make it faster than probably going through all the other things. Actually, you can get rid of just about everything, and then there we go. Okay, it's coming your way. Awesome. Okay, so as you're opening that document, I'm going to explain to you what we're going to do with it. So scroll down, have a look at some of the different tools that are listed here. I'll also pop them in the chat so that you can see the list of tools that's in this document. So I'll put that in first. That's going in the chat. I think just Thorsten and Kelsey are in the chat. Spider, it must have bumped you out. But that's okay. You can see them on this online document. So we have a survey, a focus group, photo voice, interviews, observation, mapping, digital storytelling, sharing circles, feedback forms, journal, diary, Dotmocracy, program documents, community meetings, and comment cards. You don't have to know what all of those are. That's just a rough idea to show you that there are a lot of different types of tools that we can use to collect data. What we're going to do is I'd like each of you to choose a tool. So take your cursor if you're in there, and if you can't get in, Anne, it's fine. I'll talk you through it. I think Tegan might have gone off to her safety meeting. So underneath where it says focus group, so the person who has the purple cursor, choose one of those tools and put your name after the type of tool. So focus group, if that's you, Thorsten, just do a dash and go Thorsten. Or Kelsey, if you choose interviews, just put your name after the word interviews. Perfect. So Thorsten's done that. Kelsey, do you want to choose one too? Oh, you've got community meetings. Great. And Spider, is that you doing digital storytelling or storytelling? And Thorsten and Kelsey, you guys go ahead and choose a second one because we've got enough time to go through this a little more extensively.
Are you taking digital storytelling? If not, I'll take it.
Spider, are you taking the storytelling?
I don't seem to be able to get my way into the online one, but I did print out the paper, the sheets.
Okay. So who has the purple cursor then, the Kiwi? Anne, are you in the document?
I have no idea. I'm on a page that says evaluation resources, and it says NWT's on the land, evaluation toolkit for use, evaluation toolbox Australia. Like, I don't know where you guys are, but that's where I am, and I can't find what you're talking about.
Okay, did you get my email?
Something just came in, so let me just switch.
Okay, you should be able to just open the email. In the middle, there's a link. It's the shared online document. All you need to do is click that link, and it should go straight to the document. And if not, don't worry about it. We'll just work through this.
Okay.
I'll give you a second to try. So while you're trying to get in there, what I'll explain, Thorsten, you've got storytelling and photo voice, and Kelsey, you've got Dotmocracy and community meetings. Let's give Spider, can we tag you with interviews since you were talking about in-person stuff?
Yep.
Okay. And maybe feedback forms, would that be okay for Spider?
Yep.
Okay, and I think, Anne, you're the giraffe. You made it in there.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what you can do as we'll start with we'll start this round with Thorsten again because he's at the top of the list. But you can see how Thorsten and Spider and Kelsey have put their names after two different tools. So if you want to see which one doesn't have somebody's name and put your name there, that's okay. And there's no right or wrong answer. We're just working on this together. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to fill in, and then we'll go around and talk about it, what type of data you think you can collect with the tool, where you might get it from, would it be from people or paperwork, When would you collect it? Before, after, during? And how do you think you might analyze it, or any other thoughts or questions? Now, you might not know the answers to all of these, and that's totally okay because we're going to talk through it together. But if you know any things like photo, voice, Thorsten, what type of information or what type of data do you think that would collect?
I'm really struggling with that.
So it's probably qualitative, right? Because it's pretty hard. I guess you could count the number of photos, or you could count the number of people in a photo. But for the most part, we use photo voice to express things through photos. So I would ask somebody to take photos of the type of recreation they really appreciate in their community. And so they're not telling me in words. I suppose I could count it, but I would consider that that's more qualitative. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Okay. And if you disagree with me, there's no right or wrong answers to these. So if you disagree, go ahead and say that. So that's totally okay. The source for photo voice might be, you know, it's originally people, but if you collect the photos and then you're looking at them and keeping them in a file, it's probably paper, right? So it could be both.
Both of them.
But I'll let, yeah. And then when would you use photos? Would you use them, you know, early on, like, you know, at the beginning of an evaluation, at the middle, at the end, or any time?
I think it's really any time because, yeah, there's different ways you
Perfect.
Can do it too. You can showcase what it was before, how it is in the middle, and then how it will be at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes people use photos to show before and after. Like imagine building a playground in your community, right? Here's the picture beforehand. There's nothing but an empty piece of land. And here's the photo with the playground being built. And here's a photo with all sorts of kids really enjoying the playground. So that's one way that you can use photos to share a story of what happened, right?
Yeah. And I think
Great. Okay.
would be storytelling.
Yeah, so the analysis, often when we do qualitative, we look for themes. So a theme might be, you know, what do the faces on our participants express? They look, you know, do we see concentration, excitement? What types of participants do we see in the photos? Those sorts of things. So I often think of looking for themes when I look at qualitative information. You can, to a certain extent, count it, but you have to make the themes out of it first. So really, I think that's how you're mostly looking at qualitative information. Does that make sense? For photo voice? Great. Let's go to interviews then, Spider, and I can type in for you. So what type of information do you think interviews collect? So if you're, you know, Anne just talked about a 20-minute interview on the phone, would they ask her for questions that they would be able to count, or would they ask her questions that, you know, they might have to interpret a little bit more? Or
I
both?
I think it could be mixed. You know, often it's, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5 or when they ask the question, sometimes the interviewer will say, you know, strongly agree, partially agree, neutral, somewhat disagree, fully disagree. I don't know how that would fit into with what I would be doing. Don't forget, I would be evaluating this program that I ran, Competition Program, trained parent leads to deliver fun games and activities that promote physical literacy and love movement. So I do want to then survey, whether it be written or verbal, more likely verbal, the parent leads that were trained. And then in turn, part of the obligation is the parent leads in their home communities lead some programming with other parents, and they bring in their 2 to 6 year olds, And I'd want to be able to then interview the parents of that group. So I want to interview the parent leads and the subsequent parent lead led programming folks.
Right. So, yeah, so really I think what you just told me is when you do an interview, you're going to get information from people, right? So that's really important to know. An interview can get you both types of information, whether it's quantitative or qualitative. It sounds like your timing could be any time, like what Thorsten said about with photo voice. And there might be different ways that you would analyze that information. So for your qualitative, you might look for themes. But for quantitative, you might count sort of people's reports, like what did they rate was the best activity, right? So you might some counts or comparisons, I would think, right?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so now we've gone down to storytelling, whether it's digital or in person. And Thorsten said quantitative storytelling. Thorsten, could it also be qualitative storytelling? Did that just change? And you're right, the source for storytelling could be both. So, you know, I think of going into a school and asking younger children to tell me their story and asking older children to write their story or draw their story. So your source could be people, paper, both. Again, with storytelling, we can use that anytime and we're probably looking for themes as well. So thanks for sharing that. Okay, Anne, you've got sharing circles down. Do you want to take a stab? It's similar to some of the things we've already talked about. But you could also maybe call these focus groups is another way that we might call it. So do you think you would collect quantitative, qualitative, or both like mixed data from a sharing circle?
I think the most valuable part of that focus group sharing circle idea is qualitative. Although I'm sure you could ask numbers and quantitative data, but I think the real value of that is more qualitative.
Okay, I just popped that in. And I would 100% agree with you. I mean, that's why we bring people together, right? So I think I just gave you the answer for the next square. But where do you get that data from, or what's the source when you're doing sharing circles or focus groups? Is it from paper or people?
Oh, people.
People, for sure. And when do you think you might do these sharing circles? Before, during, after, or any time?
I think you could probably do them any time. I think any time is valuable, but I guess it would depend on what it is and how it's framed in your evaluation plan. But
that's right. So timing on what you're looking for, right? Because you might use it beforehand to help you design a program.
Yeah.
Good. And for analyzing it, do you think you would do like, you know, Thorsten's got themes for storytelling and photo voice, but for interviews, Spider has maybe counts and comparisons as well. What do you think, how might you look at or make sense of the information that's shared in sharing circles?
Yeah, just looking for themes, looking for, I would almost want to use it in some respects for looking for creativity, looking at different ways of doing things that aren't how we've been doing them. So I don't know what you call that, but.
Well, often what you do, so to me that's sort of a theme. So somebody might say one thing. And somebody else might say something similar, but if you can group those under a theme, then you start to get a sense. So if you've asked people, you know, what really matters to you with physical activity, and one person says outdoors and somebody else says, you know, being active in my yard or something like that, you could group those into outside recreation. So that's sort of looking for a theme. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does, but I was thinking of something beyond that.
Okay. So you're thinking of pulling out ideas for something that you can actually do with it?
Exactly. Yeah, because I think that the value of doing a sharing circle is not sort of looking for, like, themes is helpful, I think, but looking for that creative spark that then generates enthusiasm in a group. And it's like, yeah, we've never done it like that before. Maybe that's something that would work. Like that sort of idea where it's something new and different that maybe doesn't fall into a general theme because it's new and different.
That's right. And so sometimes you might have themes like, in one of my other learning events, I say this is a tried and tested way of doing it, and this is a new and innovative way. So you could even hear it, that would be two separate themes. So you might draw out ideas that you've already tried and done, and then you might come out with new ideas, and you could even characterize those under those two categories. So it's sort of, themes are a little bit like categories in a way. And it, when you do this type of analysis, it's entirely up to you how you want to categorize it. If you want to categorize it like, this is a great idea, we've never done this before, and yeah, we've done this idea a lot, and maybe we should stick with it, that's one way of doing it. So thanks, that's great. Let's go to feedback form. Spider, what do you think, what type of data do we collect with feedback forms? Do we get quantitative, qualitative, or both? And I'm not sure if you're maybe on mute, Spider.
Yes, I was. Sorry, I think you can get both. Certainly, the quantitative, the counted ones. You know, they ran six sessions, and these are the numbers of participants in each session that came out, stuff like that. Is that quantitative or qualitative, the counting one?
Counting is quantitative. So the quantity, think of that like I have five people. That's my quantity. Quality is sort of more our feelings and our sense about things than the numbers. So on a feedback form, if you think of a feedback form, can we only collect one type of information, or do you think we can collect both types?
Well, I think you can collect both. So, you mean you're asking for numbers or attendance stuff, and then you know, you can ask them, you'll have which of the following sessions did you, that was most meaningful to you, I guess that's still quantitative and why, and if they answer the why, then you're into the qualitative.
That's right. And so when you collect a feedback form, you're probably collecting it from people, right? But
yeah. You
also might be using the paper version, so it could be people and paper, right?
Yeah. And I think it's probably post when I do this one.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so your analysis then, if you're doing quantitative, you might, like you said, count or compare, right?
Yep.
Is there something else that you might do for analysis with a feedback form?
Well, I'd like to know if they're... you know, if they're engaging, if the strategies that they learned in the, that the parent leads learned in the online training, that when they did them in their programming, that there was engagement. I don't know how that would translate to the column that you're working on.
Yeah, I think I just put look for key learnings. Or feedback. It's a feedback form, right? So I'm not sure how else to word that. If anyone has any ideas, maybe pop it in the box at the end. But I think that's kind of speaks for itself in a way, right?
Right. And I think in the final column where we're talking about questions, it's for me, and this is, the more I procrastinate, the more difficult this becomes, is that, you know, it's not fresh in their minds anymore, that the training that I provided them was months and months ago, and, you know, it's still been couple of months since I'd assumed that they were they were engaging in running the programming, but I plan my keeping in continual contact and having a process ready and timely by way of evaluation is it's nothing good.
Yeah, so that's a really important thing. And when you're looking through the presentation slides, on slide 41, I've got some sample feedback forms, and I also suggest that you be creative. So I've got this one that's in the sample feedback forms called flip chart feedback. And the way I use it is I put a flip chart as people are walking out the room or as soon as something's finished, and they can put a happy face, or sometimes I give them stickers, or I ask them to write a word. So there's lots of different ways. It doesn't have to be a piece of paper where they're writing words. They can just simply, give a thumbs up, thumbs down, that type of thing. So there's different ways to ask, but you're exactly right. Try and get that immediately. So thanks, Spider. Let's go down to Dotmocracy for Kelsey. Kelsey, do you want to, I see you've done a great job of filling that out. Do you want to just explain it to us?
Sure. So I said that Dotmocracy was quantitative because it's dots on a piece of paper. You can count them. So then I said that we got them from people, obviously, and the paper, because you can keep the paper afterwards. I think the best time to do a Dotmocracy is before and after. For the analysis, I said that you can compare the group of dots or whatever type of sticker that you're using, and you can physically count where kind of the dots land. And I said that when they're used with big meetings, it can be really helpful to make sure that you're actually hearing from everyone at the meeting.
Exactly. I like that point because, you can use stickers, a bingo blobber or whatever those are called, bingo, the dabber. There's lots of ways to collect that, and it can be very, very simple information, or it can be a lot more complex. So, or you can do a focus group and then use Dotmocracy to really get a sense from a bigger group. So there's, thanks for sharing that. That's a really great way of explaining it. So, Anne, I see your name after program documents, and that is definitely a really important source of data for evaluation. So what would you say you get from program documents? Would it be more quantitative or more qualitative?
Sorry, I was muted. I think you get both.
Sorry, you're thinking about, what if you were going to go through your program documents, what type of documents would you be looking at to start with?
I guess I would be looking for participant feedback, probably, or final reports of documents, or maybe quarterly narrative reports or quarterly financial reports. Because there's lots of information you can gather from those program documents. So I think you probably can gain both qualitative and quantitative, because people provide comments when they're creating reports. And, and then I guess the other sort of program documents that you can look at, too, would be things like, we're offering swimming lessons 3 days a week during the month of August, and then we're offering swimming lessons 4 days a week in July, and looking at feedback, right, which was more popular to offer when. there's just all kinds of information you can gather from programs.
That's right. So some of it, I think, when I think of program documents, exactly that, like how many people participated in the swim lessons that were in July and how many in August, so which one's more popular. So that would be counting quantities. So, an attendance record in a program is a great example of something we might use for evaluation. You might also use the age of people, like how many people were under the age of 12, how many people were over the age of 55, that type of thing. So those are really simple ones, but as you pointed out, quarterly reports, budgets, financial reports, all of those sorts of things might give you really good information to help you understand who's participating, when, what your costs are for your program. That's another really important thing too. So my sense is probably more quantitative because it's our record of it rather, unless, like you said, you've collected those feedback forms. And obviously we would be getting these reports from paper, right?
Yeah, and I would say, the other thing that often ends up in program documents, too, are photos and personal comments from participants, which I think are super valuable.
Exactly. So when you would look at program documents for evaluation, would it be before, during, or after usually?
I would say after. More look, yeah. For me, I think probably after is more relevant.
Yeah, and how would you analyze that information? You would probably count it, would be one way, right?
Yeah, and you'd probably do similar to, sort of that comparison, like the themes, like we talked about earlier, right? Because there's going to be a financial theme and number of participants theme, where did people live kind of theme. Like there's all kinds of sort of categories, I guess, you could collect and analyze from the program documents.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, Anne. So program documents are an important source that we don't always, I think we often use them, but we don't always think about it. So important to keep them. So they are there for evaluation. Kelsey, you chose community meetings, and thanks for filling it in. Do you want to just explain quickly what you put into those boxes and why?
Sure. So I said that community meetings were qualitative, and obviously you're hearing from people, hopefully a large group of people. I said that they could be held really at any time, and that you're probably looking to get from them is themes or general ideas, and that they can be really useful, but to be aware that you are probably going to be only hearing from the loudest voices at that meeting. And so I think it's really important to pair community meetings with another type of evaluation so that you're hearing not just from the loudest of the people.
Yeah, good point. Thank you for mentioning that. So, you know, there's the difference between the community meeting and Dotmocracy, right? So excellent. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks, everybody. That was a fairly quick look at some of the different tools, and you will find more information in the presentation slides. For example, slide 41 introduces feedback forms. Slide 42 talks about surveys, and there's a sample survey. I've given you some links on those pages. Program documents is slide 43, interviews slide 44, a focus group or sharing circle on slide 45, storytelling on slide 46, and on slide 47, you can see there's tons of other things. There's World Cafe, diaries, quilting is an example of something, graphic recording, mapping that we didn't talk about, observation. So there's lots of different types of tools you can choose. There are different considerations around how you choose those tools, and we've talked about some of them. I was going to ask you to reflect on that a bit more, but maybe just reflect on that to yourself because I see that we're 5 minutes to the hour. So just, you know, as you walk away from this, think about, you know, what are some things I would need to consider when I choose and use data collection tools? So, you know, what's easy, what's hard, what's more respectful, what lets people whose voices are often quiet be heard? Those are all different considerations. So try and keep that in mind. Before we wrap up, I just wanted to say thanks for a really good conversation this week. And part B of your evaluation plan is due by Sunday. If you haven't posted part A, and for those of you who have, I've shared some feedback with you, please do so as soon as possible. It gives me time to provide feedback. This one takes me a little longer because I want to really try and think about what you're putting forth and help you shape those questions so that the second part of your evaluation plan flows from those questions. The other thing that I'm going to ask you to do this week, and some of you may have already seen it, is to share a link to our survey with at least 5 people who you know will respond. And you can count as one of those 5 people if you want to. So the survey comes from our conversation last week. It's called Engaging Youth in Recreation and Community Sport, Promising Practices. So I tried to keep it fairly simple. I didn't want to make it more than 5 minutes long for people to do. And it's online through SurveyMonkey, available until Monday, April 4th at midnight. So it's being shared on Recreation North's Facebook page. And so I'd like you guys to repost that or send it to people that you know and just tell them we're doing this survey. The intention really is for you to be able to have some real data to look at for your final required learning activity. If you need the link again, please let me know, but it would be great. I can look and see how many responses we have so far, but I think we're doing pretty good. I did include a draw prize for a Rec North hoodie from Yukon Built, so it's optional for people to add their name. You won't know who's associated with what survey data, though. I will take those names out before I share it with you. So that's one way I can make sure that people's information isn't connected to who they are.
Caroline?
Can we just go? Yeah, I just wanted to see if you had questions. So, yeah, go ahead.
Bonner here. I'm not in any way associated with Facebook. Could I just get sent the link then that I could forward people in any emails?
You bet. I'm going to pop it in here right now, but I'll pop it in the chat right now, but I'll also send it to you. There we go. Okay, so it's in the chat. Except you're not in the chat. So I'll send it to you right afterwards so that you can see it. And again, you guys, the only thing that you're going to get from this survey is you're going to get an Excel file that you get to work through and do a little bit of an analysis. I'm not expecting a great big long thing. I'm just wanting you to feel like you've got something that's meaningful that you can work with. So that's why we chose that one. So it might feel a bit scary right now, but don't worry about it. And so far, I already have 12 responses, so that's pretty good. So let's do a quick round of questions to see if you have any questions about this week's required learning activity or the final one that's coming up in the survey. So, Spider, any other questions about the required learning activities?
I may have. If I do, I'll email you. I still got to do the part A from last week. Sorry for that delay.
No worries. Just keep it nice and simple. You can have a look at what Thorsten and Kelsey and Anne have already done. I think it's really, really helpful if you're, would like to be able to sort of shape what you're doing to look at what somebody else has already done. So thanks for those of you who jumped on board right off the bat. Because you didn't have anybody else's examples to look at. But go ahead and look at Thorsten, Kelsey, and Anne's, and then read the comments that I shared with them as well. And that might help, too.
Thank you very
much. Anne, any questions about the required learning activity or the survey?
I haven't read the learning activity, so I'll have to look at that before I'll know if I have questions, I guess. But the survey, I think the gist of it is that we share it with 5 people who will participate and then collect that data, right?
Yeah, and it is due, like, it does close on Monday so that we can use it. So, it's between you and Kelsey, you send it out to all the rec folks, then that would be awesome. That make sense?
So you want us to send it out like for real to community leaders, or you just want us to send it to people we know that will fill it out?
Well, I think recreation coordinators in most communities would probably fill it out, because that's why we chose the topic. So it's written in a way.
Okay, I'm glad.
There's an introduction to it in the survey that explains it too. So maybe I'll send you guys a template. Would it help, Anne and Spider, if I send you an email template that you can just forward?
Totally, yeah, because I thought we were just doing this pretend. So that's awesome.
Okay, so I'll send you guys an email that you can then just copy and pass on to any contacts that you think might work with young people. That's really all it is. That's great. And Tegan, are you back on the call? Okay, Thorsten, any questions?
No questions from my end. Thank you.
Okay, Kelsey, any questions?
None.
Excellent. Well, thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you in April. I can't believe it's April already. So if you do have any other questions, I'll stay on the line for a little bit after I stop the recording. Otherwise, thanks for participating today, and have an awesome rest of your week. And happy April Fool's Day on Friday.
Very good. Thanks, Carolyn.
Yeah, thank you. That was great.